Well, Sasha, world leaders have long been saying the group that calls itself Islamic State is not Islamic. Secretary of State John Kerry calls members cold-blooded killers masquerading as a religious movement. And President Obama, in his speech laying out U.S. strategy to combat ISIS or ISIL, said this.
Now, let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents. And the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim.
And here's British MP Khalid Mahmoud.
I call this deliberately not ISIL, not ISIS, ISIS, not IS. I call it the un-Islamic state.
The un-Islamic state. Muslims around the world agree. Mark Juergensmeyer is professor of sociology and director of international studies at the University of California, Santa Barbara. And he has some thoughts on this. Mark, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
And what do you say? Is ISIS a Muslim movement?
Well, yes and no. You know, it's a complicated thing because in Christianity, for example, I'm a Christian, but there's the Ku Klux Klan. There's a group called the Lord's Resistance Army in Africa, in Uganda. They're a terrible terrorist organization. They slaughter people. But they claim to be the Lord's Resistance Army. They claim to be a Christian organization. Now, as a Christian, I feel like, you know, they have nothing to do with me. They have nothing to do with the Christianity I know. I certainly don't feel like I have to apologize for them, like as if somehow I was responsible for these nuts. And that's the position the most Muslims are in.
We'll take up one point. ISIS says it's going to create a caliphate, basically a religious state ruling over the Muslim world.
That's pretty cheeky, isn't it? I mean, suddenly al-Baghdadi, who's this kind of a lower echelon al-Qaeda figure from Iraq, suddenly vaunting himself as the leader of the Muslim world. I don't think that goes over very well among most Muslim communities.
We've also heard that their form of Islam, and we heard this after al-Qaeda came on people's radar where it might not have been before, that while it's a radical political group, it does have a religious vision that's derived from a very specific Islamic interpretation called Salafism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Salafi movement is kind of like, an extreme fundamentalism in Christianity. It's a very narrow interpretation of Islam and especially a very narrow interpretation of Islamic law. Now, the interesting thing about this movement is that the leader, al-Baghdadi, actually has some religious credentials. Unlike al-Qaeda, where Osama bin Laden had no religious credentials at all. I mean, he was issuing fatwas as if somehow he was a clergy. He could do things like this, but he didn't. So for radical groups, actually, al-Baghdadi has more credentials than most because he does have a PhD in Islamic studies. He knows the tradition. He knows the literature. Is he true to it? Is he faithful to it? Well, if I were a Muslim, I would say no. But he is does have a credible Quranic training.
But is he voicing a part of the faith that all faiths might have? I mean, if you look in parts of the Bible, you'll see things like an eye for an eye. Well, most Christians would tell you, I do not believe, you know, taking someone's eye out if they've injured my eye. I mean, is there a part of Salafism and the Muslim faith that they are being true to that maybe others aren't taking literally?
There's a dark side to every religious tradition, but there's also the other side. You know, traditions are very vast. They're large. They are complex, and they carry with them all shadings and tempers of the human condition. And so we should simply accept that as a fact, which is why, yeah, ISIS ultimately is Islamic, whether you like it or not. But it's certainly not the kind of Islam that most Muslims would profess or accept.
And it seems so important to world leaders to say it's not Islamic.
Yes, and I think if I were a world leader, I'd say the same thing. You're asking me as a scholar, and I have to, you know, then talk about the whole complexities of faith. But when you're talking to large groups of people, I think it's important for political leaders to try to distance the actions of a perverted few from the reputation of a great tradition, and particularly a tradition like Islam, whose very name means peace. You know, as political leaders are right to say, this is not true Islam. This is not the Islam that most Muslims would accept.
Well, and they may also be wanting to try to rob ISIS, ISIL, of that magnetic pull for people looking for a religious group to invest in. They may be trying to do that, but others would say that they are right from the Harvard Divinity School Jocelyn Cesari, who's the lecturer on Islamic studies, says they may try to couch this as a religious war, but it's not. It's about the imbalance in the distribution of power between Shia and Sunni. That's what this is really about.
Well, she's absolutely right, and this is really true of all of the forms of terrorism that we've seen. They're all about politics. Any act of violence in the public sphere is to try to claim political space, to take over power, to assume control over regions or peoples. And this is certainly true in the case of ISIS. And the large number of people who are very directly involved in it are not pious Muslims. Most of the people in Iraq and in Syria are disaffected Sunnis who feel that they've been left out of any kind of political role within their countries. So they're supporting ISIS as, hey, these guys are going to help put us back into power, and they are. But they're not religious fanatics, they're not religious nuts. They're just Sunnis who want to have a stake in their political life.
That's Mark Juergensmeyer, professor of sociology and director of international studies at the University of California, Santa Barbara. Professor Mark, thank you.
My pleasure.
And we'd love to hear your thoughts. Can you compare this to other times in history when, for instance, members of the Ku Klux Klan claimed to be Christian?